reports at number 685, 685. We'll do the song of invitation later. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 60, 60. And after the song, Travis, would you lead us in prayer? Thank you. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with loving zeal, the poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with one accord, with us the word to share, with us reproach to bear, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for another beautiful day to spend this with. We're grateful to be here and worship you with spirit and truth. Father, we pray that you continue to bless each person here. Father, we pray that you continue to bless this congregation. Father, we pray for the ones who are mentioned here today being sick, hurting. Father, we pray that you be with them and comfort them. And Father, we also pray for the ones that have lost loved ones this week. Be with them and comfort them also. Father, we pray for this country. We pray for our leaders, especially our president and some of the senators that have come down with this COVID. Father, we pray that they'll be okay. And Father, we pray that you would look to you for guidance. Father, grateful for your Son, which came and died for our sins, and we do sin sometimes. Father, we pray that you forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. In the leadership that we talk about for guiding young people's lives and our own older people's lives too, we need to go to God's Word always to find the answer to our question. How do we guide them? How do we do that? And the Word of God does speak to that particular matter. The Psalmist David in Psalm 1 will mention that regard and how that he loves the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How do we do this? We meditate upon it. We thank God for it, and we meditate upon his Word. And as we do that, we pass that along to our children as they begin to grow. And in regard to that particular matter, we find a way of spiritual walk that the Bible tells us God wants us to walk in. There's a way that we young people can pass by the idea that something is going to happen no matter how advertised it is going to happen. Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes comments regarding this. He said, I looked and I saw that under the sun, not all things are going to happen that are talked about happening. He said, the race is not always to the swift. The victory is not always to the strong. But happenstance happeneth to them all. You and I have seen a situation where a team just could not be beat. All year long they were victorious, and all year long they were successful. Our young people got into the idea of it at home, that that was going to be the way that it was. Only to find that at the end of the year, by the end of the year, victory is not always to the swift and not always to the strong. Happenstance happeneth to them all. And in the happenstance, there was something that took place, maybe an attitude about a team, maybe it was a choice person being out of pocket, out of space, and out of blocking range, and there was a change that took place. Who can tell us in regard to when that's going to take place? God's word tells us happenstance happeneth to it all. It's not always the way that people say and announce that it's going to happen. Because it doesn't always happen that way. Victory is not always to the swift, not always to the strong. But happeneth, circumstance happeneth to it all. And so in the Bible we see that God's word tells us that we shouldn't depend upon the things that we are certain are going to happen here on this earth. But to be spiritually minded, we're to be people who shun certain things, as we introduced in 1 John 2:15, and then in verse 16 tonight, this morning. When he talks about all that is in the world is lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he says regarding these things are not of the Father, but of the world, and they will pass away. They're of the world and they're going to pass away. They're not going to continue on and be there forever. It's not going to be a spiritual walk that you can maintain in that way. Lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life is a part of worldly ways in which men live and women live and people live on this earth. And as a result of that, it's a way of life that should not be followed by anyone serving the Heavenly Father. We think about this particular thing. We talk about ways in which we can live and we can behave and we can do. We talk about a spiritual walk of life. Wouldn't it be good to have an example in front of us of a spiritual walk of life? A spiritual talk, spiritual prayers, spiritual ways to think and do. And that's where my mom and my dad came in the picture. So much in my early life as well as continued life. They were wonderful examples of prayer, wonderful examples of calling upon God in times and circumstances. And as a result of that, I was able to follow the kind of things that I would note of them that they were able to follow. Because God's word tells us that that's the way to do. In Jesus' own words, when he said, "My word will judge you in the last day, for thy words are not mine, but my Father gave me these words that I now teach unto you." In John 12, at verse 49. So it is that Jesus was teaching words, it was spiritual words of the Heavenly Father that were going to be on and on and on and going. Jesus, in the midst of his work, talked about certain things that we have in life. And he talked about people and circumstances like that. In Matthew chapter 12 and down at verse 13, he said, "I tell you, of every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." He noted regarding idle words, words that have no real value, no real eternity, no real spirituality to them. They're words that come and go as people talk about them. I have made a listing of some of those words along the way that have become the kind of words that our young people have found themselves into. More so maybe since the 70s than nowadays, but certainly even in my early days of the 60s of this time. God made two sexes. When we talk about the word sex, what do we think of? We think about male and female. Or do we think something else? When we talk about a water that is coming down a hillside and that it has a dam to hold back that water, they get concerned about it and put a berm sometime in the middle of that particular dam in order to preserve the water not getting underneath the dam and washing it out and bringing a great waterfall down the stream. from that place. That word damn has not a meaning of vulgarity and not a word of profanity, but has reference to water that is held back by way of a structure known as a reservoir or called in common days a dam. When we talk about those things, we're talking about something that's righteous and good. Sometimes when we talk about certain things like an ass, the Bible reads regarding an ass in more modern language Bibles than you can shake a stick at. And a lot of times when young people and older people alike come to that particular word, instead of redefining it and noting it as a donkey or as an animal, a creature, they seem to be stopping and doing what we said in that song, "Lord, deliver me from speaking in ways that are not right." In doing pride and doing our ways of life that are sinful and wrong. Thinking about an ass from the standpoint of something other than what the scripture speaks about a donkey who finds his way of doing things. I mentioned to you that my hometown had a name, a Paris at one time, but it also had a name regarding the Yaconookin River that flows south of town there. In that day and time, it was known as Redbud Springs. And Redbud Springs had reference to the redness of various types of plants that were along the side of that river that would be red in their ways at times in the year. Not roses, but they would be red. And Redbud Springs was the name of the town at one time. Later on, it was chosen to be Kosciuszko, as I mentioned this morning. But that kind of thing changes out. When I was talking about it, I had the chemistry work. When you come up to a liquid or something that you want to get into a liquid form so that you can test it with litmus paper. Litmus paper will tell you whether that's an acid, which will burn your skin, burn the tongue, burn your tummy, burn you up. Or if it is a base, which is a way that you can eat something and you can enjoy it and have the flavor of it and you can have that which is good. You will not have that out of the acidity that's so high in form that the litmus paper will tell you, whoa, this is acid right here and not base. We have testing techniques that we've been able to use for well over 200 years now with the litmus taste. There are certain things that we do in life. We pick up habits of people. When the Bible speaks regarding hell, it talks about a place of punishment for the dead who are not serving God. It speaks regarding a place of eternal rejection from God. And when we talk about this, we look at the word Hades that is used a lot of times in the scripture because there are at least three or four different terms for hell. Gehenna is that word for the wonderful destruction of those who are wicked. And God looks at it as a time of separating them completely from the people who are righteous and who serve the Lord and who are rewarded with rest. But the fact of the matter is that Gehenna is a place of terrible punishment, referred to in English as the place of hell. In reference to the dead dying and being reserved to the time of their grave, the word Sheol is used in the Old Testament of the Bible in reference to that graveside, as well as Hades is used in reference not only to that place of the dead being buried, but also to the eternal place in the sense of going toward that place of Hades. It is said regarding Jesus that he entered into hell, as Peter talks about that in that regard. But he did not enter into Gehenna. He entered into the Hadean world. And entering into the Hadean world, he was a part of the dead. And it was in the Hadean world that undoubtedly he spoke unto men. He spoke unto various ones. He didn't stop his work for the Heavenly Father as he entered into that place. When we talk about a hayro, we're talking about something that is there, available for cattle to eat and to harvest on and to eat and to enjoy. That's far different than the misuse of the term a roll in the hay. which is a roll in the hay in the sense of immorality. When we talk about a hay roll, we're talking about that which can be useful. And spiritually we can speak of that and use that in reference to the purchase of rolls of hay that will be used to feed our cattle and other creatures, other animals that eat that in order to have their food there. Sometimes along the way when we talk about a bush, we're not talking about something that is of a sexual nature, but of vegetation that is a bush outside people's houses, around their walkways. There are bushes that are there. And as a result of that, they're referred to in this simple word as bush. When we talk about these things, we're talking about something that can be misused. We're talking about that word that can be used in an idle way. And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 12:13, when he said, I tell you, of every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. If I would use a word that is a legitimate word and use it in a vain sense, in an idle sense, in an unvaluable sense of way, and use it as a word of profanity, many times these particular words are taken and utilized as a way of talking against somebody. It's not just a way of a reservoir of water against somebody. It's the idea of God's reservoir against you. And you know what the words are to use that reference. It's a shame that that is going on, but it will go on in our young people's lives. Why? Because as the song says, are you going to be a person who is free from your passion and pride? Passion is all around us, and pride is all around us. Everything that we see advertised is advertised because this is the best that has ever come about. This is the best way of doing things. And we get that and we find that it may be better, it may not be better than what we have had before. But nevertheless, we do that, because that pride is a part of that advertisement for us. We live in a generation of time in which we have that pride by which we find ourselves operating life. And if we have that pride in our hearts and lives and as we talk to others, what about a young couple that's going to grow up well enough that they can be with that person thinking about for life? But the conversation is in regard to their prideful way of talking. When they get angry at one another, do they talk about one another going to a reservoir and get their point across that way? Or are they talking about someone to down that individual without a word, putting themselves in the judgment seat of making eternal condemnation to someone by using those words? Friends do it. All around us they do it. More and more it's becoming a part of radio in the music and songs that are being sung. More and more those words and misuse as an idle word are becoming a part of it in the movies that we see. And even if we miss it out on a movie that we see the oncoming movie previews, and they'll have that to entertain people and get people's attention to have the words misused in those. We're surrounded by, and our young people are surrounded by, and they've got to know from a standpoint of our discussion with them and our love for them and our will for them to grow up and be the kind of people that in a date they find themselves honoring a young woman, honoring a young man, not deciding that I'll see what you can do with me in life, and I'll make my judgment on the basis of that as to whether I will say I do or not to continue this relationship at all. Let me be a person who cares about the ways of God and not use words in an idle way. For Jesus said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We're talking about a way of life that is not of God, is not helpful to mankind, when he puts a person in the eternal judgment seat of condemnation for somebody, it certainly is something that is vicious and mean. And who wants to stay in a marriage like that? Who wants to stay being condemned like that? Who wants to be around an individual who's like that? That'll bring about a fight. And in Proverbs 18:21, we're reminded by wise man Solomon, the power of life and of death is where? In the tongue. So as my tongue speaks these words of condemnation eternal for you, for messing up the bread or messing up the steak or messing up whatever, oh my, what a time it will be to do eternal condemnation. Who will stay with that? Does that somewhat explain some of the many divorces that are taking place these days? Some of the many unsettled marriages that are happening these days? So many of those that are on their now second, third, or fourth marriage experience. Sad it is that that can be the case, but it can be, because idle words, words that have legitimate use, there's a legitimate use for a donkey. There's a legitimate use for ass for a donkey. There's legitimate reference to those things. But not being used in a way of that, being used in an idle way, it's not going to be tolerated very long by somebody. The power of life and of death is in the tongue. And so that person is not going to take that long, not going to be around that long. And maybe threatening with words that are just the same as they received. And there's a fight on. And who knows what life and death are going to be. I've enjoyed the series of Perry Mason through the years. And I got some videos of Perry Mason's whole series back yonder when. And I've enjoyed seeing that these things do act. They do partake of. They do participate in a big way. I also enjoy seeing from 1947, the year in which I was born, the movies that were put out by the Western star, Johnny Mack Brown. Johnny Mack Brown was born in 1904. And by the time that he was up to 47, that would have meant that he was 43 years of age. And he would have been busy with his activities. He was a very handsome man. In fact, in 1924, he was on the Wheaties box for the cereal. And it made it very popular all across America because the Wheaties box had Johnny Mack Brown. Johnny Mack Brown worked in regard to his football play, too. He was a part of a great team, and he was a part of a historical team. And he was a part of being successful in all that way. And when I listened to the film of him in 1947, ride the horse and shoot him up and talk about people and everything, I don't see these rough, mean-spirited words. I see him many times speak things that are strong to people and ask them a question. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That's a good question for anybody. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And ask, the answer comes back. Yes, I hear what you say. And many times those fellows don't really believe it until they see his drawing of the pistol at the time of the thing. Johnny Mack Brown is quite a character in his ways and times. I enjoyed him very much. But the idea of using idle words is certainly not a way of spiritual growth in life. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, remember that if you've fallen away from His way and His righteousness, come back with His righteous thoughts tonight. In regard to repentance and prayer, as Simon was told, the Lord will forgive him the thought and intent of his heart, and that can be yours tonight. Come as we stand together and as we sing this song about Jesus.
I wander far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod.
thankful to be for this day and the many blessings. We ask you to guide, guard, and direct us as we go on our journey. We ask you to bless each one of us here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Three more versions of that song.
Yep.
Yeah.